This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2263. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. This edition recorded October 3rd. Algeria, Argentina, Armenia, Austria, Bermuda, Brazil, Finland, Germany, Iceland, India, Indonesia, Korea, North and South, Kyrgyzstan, Mongolia, Myanmar, Netherlands, New Zealand, Nicaragua, North America, Philippines, Pridnestrovia, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Thailand, Turkey, UAE, USA, Car AM Radios, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. In the NASA flash sheet, Rob Wagner in Victoria, Australia, reports Algeria, Ifriqiya FM on 13790. In French, September 16th at 2320. Wolfgang Büschel replies, the only outlet from the Wagler site. Seemingly, their 15 and 17 megahertz antennas from this site are defective for a month or two now. Not heard lately on those frequencies. Later around October 1st, he says 13790 is probably not the original site, Wagler, but Beshar instead. 15160 not being heard in the daytime. On October 3rd, Alan Rowe in England says, I just noted that RAI, Argentina to the World in English, has resumed daily one-hour broadcasts from Monday to Friday, rather than the weekly half-hour programs that were introduced during COVID. WRMI currently broadcasts the last half-hour of the RAI English on 5850 at 22:30, joining the live stream midway through. The WRMI skit also shows Ryan English at 1400 on 7730, but something else is on then. They do have a live web stream from Argentina for the full hour. That is starting at 1400 and at 22. And also an audio archive of most daily broadcasts at www.radionacional.com.ar. Following up an item last week under Russia on 15235, Tony Rogers in the British Jazz Club says, thanks to Roger Tower on the ADX list, it seems that program in Russian, 24 September on 15235, was presumably from Armenia. Aimed Toward Europe, a podcast produced by Andrei Monokov in Russia about the history of powerful radio, including Noratus in Armenia. And this had nothing to do with Music Wave Radio, which was testing 17700, or rather 17770, and again filed under Austria and non. More about Adventist World Radio. At radioforeign.de, there are claims that AWR will cease all shortwave broadcasts at the end of the year. Now it is out that ORS is closing the Mosburn shortwave site at the end of this year because the main customer, Adventist World Radio, is saying goodbye to all HF activities. Well, almost all, they're keeping Guam on the air, their own station, KSDA. On the IRCA list, Mark Connolly in Massachusetts says, during a recent East Coast Kiwi SDR cruise, I came across an odd one on the Bermuda remote receiver. 1610 kHz, a good steady signal, light pop music, and mentioning mastersradio.com. He went to the website and was hearing different music than on 1610. Later he checked remotes on the east coast of the U.S. and could not get any definite reception. If the signal is originating in Bermuda, it must be very low power not to be in the mix at receiving sites on or near Cape Cod or Cape Hatteras, which are low-loss routes. Then September 28th at 13 UT in daylight, there was a 12/9 blank carrier on 1610 with no fading into the remote in Bermuda, so it must be local. In medium wave news, this update about Brazil from Huerwe Garcia, PU3HAG. Brazil is pedal to the metal, migrating medium wave stations to FM. The move was lobbied by station owners, as the advertisement budget is mostly concentrated on the FM band. Station owners and local broadcast industry also helped deciding to expand the FM band and include the segment 76 to 88 megahertz, instead of moving to DRM, IMOC, DAB, or even ISDB in use for TV, in order to cope with the exhausted channeling seen in several metro areas. All new receivers sold since 2018 or so include the expanded FM band, down to 76 megahertz. Zaharis Dangas in Greece says, due to his new location where there is noise and restriction on antennas, all his DXing for the foreseeable future will be via remote receivers, such as in Brazil, he reports two pirates on 6200 and 6205. They are audible near São Paulo. Lucio Otávio Bobrovic in Brazil asked the owner of another pirate, Radio Ameixinha, about this, and he replied, at 6200 there is a new free station, identifying as Radio Ancora, A-N-C-O-R-A, from somewhere in Bahia. And 6205, country radio, plays only that type of music, sometimes IDing that way. It was testing at 7670, off the air for days and then coming back, but now settled on 6205, location unknown. 6200, Ancora, and 6205 at 06UT were back on the air on the 29th and 30th of September. A couple of other Brazilian pirates, as reported by Lucio Otávio Bobrovic, on September 23rd, on 8,000 kHz, Casa 8000, at 2141 with Phil Collins Music and ID, on 9290, Rádio Araucária, at 2151 with Sertanejo Music and ID. From Yorma Mentila, Arctic Radio Club, about 252 kHz, Arctic Radio, in Inari, Finland, a 1 kW station, plans to start testing in late October, regular broadcasts in November. 252 is the Finland frequency, according to the 1975 Geneva Plan, previously used by the Lahti Longway Station, closing down in 1993. This has now been licensed as of September 2024, Arctic Radio. It's operated by Matthew King, a British citizen who's been living in Inari for several years. He says the transmitter will be driven from Czech to here, and we will do the setup and testing in late October. It will be housed in my garage, the antenna on my land, a 600-meter long wire, a small Marconi T, and a loop will be tested in October. I'm also looking for a better permanent transmitter site. Things are at a very early stage, but they will grow as I plan to make this a full-time professional station. The website is arcticradio.net. And as to whether the 600-kilowatt transmitter on 963 in Finland will be reactivated, Jorma Mentila says Alpha Media Group application for use of this has been delayed for further evaluation. Alan Rowe, latest news from Jazz AM. Upcoming transmissions on the 5th and 6th of October. On 3955 at 21 to 22 UT. Now on the 5th it will be 85 kilowatts in DRM mode, and on the 6th 125 kilowatts in AM. Both will be a woofer in UK, even though it's a frequency otherwise used by Channel 292, which is brokering this. Channel 292 had been having trouble with some of its transmitters, but as of October 3rd, we're back on the air. According to Connor Burns, mediumwave.info, RUV Iceland on 189 kHz was off the air as of 09 UT September 5th. He asked them about it due to temporary technical problems, but last year's decision about the closure by the end of this year still stands, according to Mauro Ritola. Some more observations of English quarter hours inserted to other language broadcasts of Akashvani or All India Radio. From JRX, José Ronaldo Xavier in Brazil on 15410. Saturday, September 28th, after Hindi at 0230, there was English at 0245 to 0305 from the home service. Or rather, it went into Nepali at 0300. And Marshall Reel in Maryland was hearing an English segment Tuesday, October 1st at 2017 on 9620. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports, Voice of Indonesia, Channel 2 in English, via WRMI, Monday, September 30th at 0817 on 7780. And then a few minutes later, he tuned in RR Nambiri Program 1 on 7289.93 at 0826. That's direct from Indonesia, and it suddenly went off at 0940. They were playing easy listening songs, some of them in English. Islamic segments at 0848 to 0859. There was a long span of dead air at 0912 to 923. I heard Voice of Korea from the North wrapping up an English hour with a schedule of their English broadcasts at 0654 UT October 2nd. way off frequency on 9729.815 approximately. Clandestine from South to North Korea, reported by Ron Howard in California. VOP, September 28th, from 1330 UT. A strange situation. 6599 best in lower sideband and 6601 best in USB with the same programming in parallel, but differences in the audio quality. 6599 was best, very frequent audio breaks, while 6601 had ridiculously poor audio, very rapid, cutting on and off. In his DX guides, Tony Rogers in the UK reports about the Kyrgyz Republic. The Kyrgyz Telecom shortwave transmitter on 5130 often IDs as Hit Shortwave at the start and end of the broadcast. It ended its series of broadcasts for September on Friday the 13th and was next expected to be on the air Tuesday 1 October. It is usually on air Monday to Friday only between the 1st and 15th days of each month. It comes on air around 1445 with tones. Sign on at 1455. Sign off varies up to 1800. The programs are entirely Christian in content, and the first part of each broadcast is usually in Dari or a Central Asian language, with the Radio Sedaye Zindagi program in Dari often heard in the latter part up to sign off. He mostly monitors this via the remote in Novosibirsk. Dan Robinson in Maryland reports on the Voice of Mongolia, listening on the 20th of September via the remote in Oita, Japan. A Chinese program just before 1430, a start of English with a nice interval signal, a program including a focus on Mongolian music. He says it's so good to still have Mongolia with us after all these years. We can only cross our fingers that it will continue for a while longer. The frequency was measured at 12014.88. Via BCDX, Tony Rogers in UK reports on Myanmar Radio. Daily in English except Fridays, 1530 to 1630, on 5985 in medium wave, 576 and 594. Monitoring via remotes in Northeast India. Reception is very good on 5985 until China blocks it at 1558. The format of English broadcasts is, after news headlines, news, weather, and news headlines again, announcements relating to the 9 objectives of the State Administration Council and the 5-point roadmap for the State Administration Council. Also, Tazin Radio from northern Myanmar was heard on 15 September, closing at 0930 on 9590 and opening up at 1030 on 7345 in minority languages. In an article mainly about Russia resuming HF communications from Crimea to its Black Sea fleet, Michel Frémy on Radio Magazine says NATO has also decided to restore HF communications, at least for backup to satellite communications, with ships at sea. In France, antennas at Issoudun are available for this, and in the Netherlands, it's operating from the previous site of Radio Nederland at Flevo. Radio New Zealand Pacific keeps making schedule changes, not necessarily matching what's on their website. On September 30th, I was surprised to find 17675 still on the air at 0631. But that is indeed what their schedule now shows until 0700. However, on October 2nd, they were still on 13690 before 07, and the next night back to 17675. In HF Underground, I see several reports spanning midnight UT from September 27th to 28th on 6950 USB of a test transmission, a test and tuning signal from Tropical Radio and Telegraph Station BZT in Bluefields, Nicaragua. That's what they say, but it may be a pirate playing around. In his NASA flash sheet, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin reports another North American pirate on the strange frequency of 9315 USB. Last week it was Bad Cat Radio, but this time it's Red Lobster Radio at 2323 UT, September 22nd, with waterfall images of that ID with a jack-o'-lantern. More reports of Hikari FM, the pirate believed to be in Mexico, from Rick Barton nearby in Arizona, on nominal 11515, in the daytime, September 26th at 1700. They were already in progress at TuneIn, also the 27th at 1600, and the 30th at 1902. I also detected it just barely audible September 29th at 1445 on 11514.9. via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2263, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Jim C. Scheidler in Stillwater, Oklahoma, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Via remotes in Maine and Alberta, Wolfgang Bussel reports some very split frequencies from FEBC Philippines after midnight UT on October 3rd. It is the Bokawi site, 15435.503, the Shan language at midnight 10, and 15560.505 in Javanese at 0115. Next, filed under Pridnestrovia or Transnistria, also known as Occupied Moldova, since October 1st, Transworld Radio is no longer carried on medium wave 621 or 1548 kHz. Due to reduction of financial funds and sanctions pressure, says Roger T. in Germany, referring to a Russian source. And there seems to be a difference of opinion whether these high-power transmitters would continue on the air with other programming. Walt Solomon, NBC, reports hearing Russian Volmet flight weather on 8939 USB. October 1st at 0326, a good level. It's coming from Rostov, very close to the Russian invasion area in the Donbas of Ukraine. It went off at 0330 and then St. Petersburg at 0340 until 345, also heard by Eric Fetterswalp in Washington. Walt says each lasts exactly 5 minutes, each scheduled twice per hour. On September 27th and 29th, we were still hearing strong chirping against Saudi Arabia's 11935 channel, such as at 1947 and 1447, thought to be jamming by Iran of the Yemen radio service. However, starting September 30th, the Saudi frequency was slightly different and no longer any chirping or jamming, around 11934.894. That is via the remote in Holland. They were having a Quran segment, but interrupting it for Republic of Yemen radio IDs in Arabic, 1919, 1928, 1935, and finally back to regular programming at 1944. More and more frequencies have been missing from Spanish national radio, Token English at 22 UT Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 17855 for North America has been gone. 17715 for South America was also off for a while. 15390 has been off for several weeks, leaving us with only 15520 on certain days, such as October 2nd. At least 17715 was back on the 3rd. Something's not right at Nobilejas. Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo says Radio Thailand has stopped its Japanese service for 2 months from October 1st, no longer at 13 to 1315 UT on 9385. It goes off the air for 15 minutes. There is English at 12, Chinese at 12:30, Malay at 12:45, comes back on at 13:15 in English. Via remote in Holland, Ron Trotto in Illinois was hearing an UNID station on 10040 with Arabic music until 1930 UT, September 26th. It must have been Turkish music because that computes as a leapfrog mixing product of two frequencies on the air from Voice of Turkey, 9460 over 9750, another 290 kHz higher, until the higher one goes off at 1930. It's for Voice of Turkey in English to us at 22 UT on 11785. Sometimes they try to come on the air with a very weak signal at 2200. That was the case on September 27th, but soon gave up not to return. It must have been only the exciter. They couldn't get the main transmitter going. The same thing seemed to be happening on October 2nd. However, they did come up with a higher power transmitter a couple of minutes later. Another try but fail date was October 1st. And they didn't get off the air before 2300 when German was starting up, not supposed to be on shortwave. That happened on September 30th. I had a barely audible off-frequency carrier September 28th at 1514 on 21470.165. That's a Saturday-only schedule for BBC in English at 14 to 16 via the Dabaya UAE site for Central Africa. Some sites and transmitters are habitually askew in frequency. I say, why isn't there a simple fine-tuning control like on receivers? Or maybe there is, but no one cares or pays attention. Wolfgang Busel replies, one of the four units in the UAE is always misaligned for years, varying approximately 80 to 150 hertz on the upper side. During Hurricane Helene, the amateur radio Hurricane WatchNet was active. No doubt more to come. Check 7268 LSB and or 14325 USB. José Ronaldo Xavier in Brazil caught Grimesland in a mistake. The 2130 broadcast on 15120 Monday through Friday is supposed to be in Bambara for West Africa. But on September 26th until 2200, it was carrying instead Radio Marti in Spanish. Mike Cooper forwards a press release September 27th. U.S. Agency for Global Media awards lease, securing Voice of America move to a modern, new, downtown D.C. headquarters. The relocation will save the agency more than $150 megadollars over the course of its sesquidecade lease. 1875 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest is the future headquarters and home of VOA. Relocation will begin in the coming months and occur in phases over the next several years. CEO Amanda Bennett says our move to 1875 Penn marks the beginning of an exciting new chapter that will reimagine USAGM for the future. Moving from the Wilbur J. Cohen building will allow the agency to operate more efficiently and secure significant cost savings that can be reinvested in technology and infrastructure to expand its reach to key markets where malign influence and censorship pervade. And the move to a more efficient space echoes a broader push to reimagine federal workspaces across Washington, D.C. The Cohen building has been the home to VOA and U.S. International Public Service Broadcasting since 1954. Originally built for the Social Security Administration and listed among D.C.'s inventory of historic sites, the Cohen building exemplifies the stripped classical and Egyptian revival styles popular at its inception. But it was never optimized for a modern news organization. Yet the Cohen building has served as an international hub for trusted news and info for generations. WTQW in Lebanon, Tennessee has been having more transmitter problems. On September 27th, George McCunnock tells me that number one was throwing off the driver breaker. He was working on that, but then because of the storm, power was out for a day or two. The Brother Stair transmitter, 9930 and 5920, has been on the air most of the time, but the other one, which carries World of Radio, on 9475 and 5085, is the one with problems. On September 30th, George informed us he now has a studio at the transmitter site and a computer program to run audio on either transmitter. But there was arcing damage to number one. Speaking of Brother Scare, I've noticed that, unfortunately, WRMI 9955 is indeed carrying him before and after 07UT, instead of relaying France in Spanish before 07 and Poland in English afterwards. One continuing topic of discussion at the World of Radio Group is whether cars should be required in the U.S. to include AM radios. Eric Flodin forwards an interesting story about this from TheConversation.com. Look for this title. Congress is trying to force car makers to keep AM radio. It should also use this opportunity to correct the mistakes of the past. Mike Cooper provides the text of the proposed legislation before it went through a committee markup process, approved by the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Innovation, Data, and Commerce on May 23rd, and sent to the full House Energy and Commerce Committee. He says, I'm baffled by the report that it cleared the committee on a 45-2 vote, since the committee only has 29 members, according to its website, energycommerce.house.gov. The proposed legislation would not instantly create the requirement. It simply calls for the U.S. Secretary of Transportation to issue a rule within 1 year of final approval of the bill that would make AM radios standard equipment in passenger motor vehicles, manufactured after the date of the rule within 2 to 3 years after the rule is issued. Manufacturers that produced less than 40,000 vehicles for U.S. sale in 2022 would have at least 4 years after the rule is issued to meet the requirement. This would not apply to motorcycles or trucks. Since manufacturers would not be allowed to charge more for the AM radio, I don't think we can assume the quality of the radios will be any good, says Mike Cooper. John Filiozzi replies, the problem is not just whether these cars have AM radio in their dashboards, but the quality of those AM radios. There are a whole range of challenges both inside and outside the car that make actually hearing AM radio quite a chore. On vehicles in the past, the car AM radio might have been the best electronic piece of equipment one owned. Without some kind of manufacturing standard, or better yet, the FCC actually enforcing its non-interference regs against all these new and emerging RF noise producers, this legislation will mean little. Anything but a very local signal will be obliterated as signals are submerged under all that noise. There's a story via Facebook in IRCA DX Monitor of August 10th. We don't have time for it all, but it starts this way. History of the car radio. It seems like cars have always had radios, but they did not. One evening in 1929, two young men named William Lear and Elmer Wavering drove their girlfriends to a lookout point high above the Mississippi River town of Quincy, Illinois, to watch the sunset. It was a romantic night, to be sure, but one of the women observed that it would be even nicer if they could listen to music in the car. Lear and Wavering liked the idea. Both had tinkered with radios as a radio operator in the U.S. Navy during World War I, and it wasn't long before they were taking apart a home radio and trying to get it to work in a car. But it was not easy. Automobiles have ignition switches, generators, spark plugs, and other electrical equipment that generate noisy static interference, making it nearly impossible to listen to the radio when the engine was running. One by one, Lear and Wavering identified and eliminated each source of electrical interference. When they finally got their radio to work, they took it to a radio convention in Chicago. There they met Paul Galvin, owner of Galvin Manufacturing Corp. He made a product called a battery eliminator, a device that allowed battery-powered radios to run on household AC current. But as more homes were wired for electricity, more radio manufacturers made AC-powered radios. Galvin needed a new product to manufacture. When he met Lear and Wavering at the radio convention, he found it. He believed that mass-produced affordable car radios had the potential to become a huge business. Lear and Wavering set up shop in Galvin's factory, and when they perfected their first radio, they installed it in his Studebaker. And so it goes. Back to shortwave for one more item, Vanuatu. 7260 had been the regular frequency until 07UT, but as October 1st, Manuel Mendes reports, they've gone back to 9960, and it's on the air before and after 0700, 5 kilohertz away from WRMI, which could be a problem, but not always, at least as monitored here in Oklahoma. Radio Vanuatu on 9960. Propagation outlook from SWPC. ANK indices peaking at 10 and 4 October 5th and 6th, 20 and 5 October 11th, and 28 and 5 on October 22nd. Solar flux down from 205 October 8th to a minimum of 170 October 17th to 21st. Check our website for much more info, worldofradio.com. Inviting you to hear me again next week. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 2263, with a standard disclaimer.